James chapter 3 tonight for the preaching of God's word, the reading of God's word. James chapter number 3. How many of you have a holiday tomorrow? Raise your hand. You have a holiday? There are not very many of you. How many are going to work tomorrow? Oh, wow. Wow, so interesting. Yeah, I was going to say it's a holiday. Maybe I should, you know, let you out a little early. But you should probably get out early because you have to work, huh? Or just keep it the same. Right? All right, we'll see what happens. All right. James chapter number 3. Move away, Bryant, so you don't get associated with the, you're trying to slide, your wife will not move. All right, James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let the church say amen. Father, bless these few moments that we have together. Would you help us to mind you? And as we hear what you say, Father God, help us to apply it to our lives. Thank you for being God. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that we live in a way that pleases you, and that no way, God, we would displease you by what we do. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've dealt the last several weeks with James chapter 3. James is dealing with the issue of spiritual maturity, really challenging us to grow up in the Lord. Now, when you get saved, it's all of God. Somebody say amen. But as you apply biblical principles to your life, working in agreement with the Holy Spirit of God, I said in agreement with the Holy Spirit of God, God has power to do anything and everything he wants to do in our lives, but his power is nullified when we're not working in agreement with that. Would you agree with that? God wants us to live holy, but we won't live holy unless we agree with his desire for our lives and make it our desire. God is looking for willing participants who will join him in his desire for our lives. We want God's desires for us to become our desires. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. In other words, he will teach you what to desire when you delight in him. And one of those desires that God has for us is to grow. And as we delight in the Lord, not only does he want us to grow, we want to grow. Amen. If you don't want to grow in the Lord, you're not delighting in the Lord. If you keep struggling with wrong desires and bad wishes and desires to do things that God doesn't want you to do, you're not delighting in the Lord. Ask God, God, as I pursue you, you teach me the things that I need to pursue. So as James is dealing with spiritual maturity, we dealt with a number of those issues. These issues in this section deal with spiritual maturity and growing up as it comes to our behavior. We dealt with our battles. We dealt with our Bible. We're dealing with our beliefs before and now our behavior. Amen. If you're growing up in the Lord, you got to learn how to behave right. First on the list, James chapter 3, your tongue. Keeping it in check. Well, my tongue's always out of control. You need to grow up some more. Amen. And we learned in that study, in those several verses, that the tongue is an area of life where if we are going to do right in that area, God must do it for us. God must do it through us. God must do it with us. How many times when we start running down the road of the Christian life thinking we're the ones doing it, does God have to be humbling us and reminding us that it is a work of grace and a walk of faith? Just when we think we're pulling it off, we fall flat on our face, and he reminds us it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You can pull off a lot of things in the world on skill, but the Christian life has never been lived by skill. It must be lived by spirituality. Tonight I want to deal with the issue of wisdom for just a few moments. I've entitled this section, Words of Wisdom. Words of Wisdom. One of the signs of spiritual maturity is wisdom. It's something that a lot of Christians that say they're mature seem to lack. Wisdom. Not just information. Not just knowing a lot of verses. Not just being familiar with a lot of stories in the Bible. Not even just with being sound in your doctrine. I'm talking about wisdom. The God-given ability to take knowledge and apply it rightly to make right decisions. Now, we're living in a world full of decisions every day. Oftentimes, the difference between a spiritually immature Christian and a spiritually mature Christian is not necessarily the different temptations, the different background, the different trials, the different struggles. Nobody in this building lives life without trials. The difference between the immature Christian and the mature Christian is one faces those trials and tribulations without wisdom, and the other faces them with wisdom. Listen to me. We're all going to be tempted. We're all going to be tried. But God help us that when we are, we face them with wisdom. I want to give you just a couple quick thoughts tonight in this area of words of wisdom. Number one, there's an eager search taking place. Verse 13, who is a wise man? Who is a wise man? James said we're looking for him. And according to the first part of the chapter that we dealt with, at least that section with tongue, you cannot discern a wisdom person, a wise person, just based on who says he's wise. So it's amazing that he segues from the section on the tongue to wisdom. And in so many words, he's saying, keep that tongue in check. Just because you say you're wise doesn't mean you're wise. So there's a search. Who is the wise man? We're looking for distinct characters. Wise people stand out. I didn't say educated people. I didn't say intellectual people. I said wise people. Amen. You can get all the degrees in the world. Doesn't make you wise. Wise people stand out. There's a distinct character that's been given divine comprehension. Who is this wise man? Endued with knowledge. It talks about the skill of understanding. Hey, James said, we're looking for somebody. We're not just looking for a regular church attender. We're not just looking for a ministry worker. We're not just looking for someone that's been saved a long time. We're not just looking for a Bible toter. We're looking for somebody who stands out because he has a character that has some comprehension. Now watch this now. James said this character has comprehension, and his character's comprehension is revealed in his conduct. You will not prove your wisdom by saying you're wise. You'll prove your wisdom by how you live. Now look at James's words. Who is the wise man? Endued with knowledge. Let him show out of a good conversation. That word is not talking about our communication with one another. It's talking about our manner of living. Out of a good conversation, his works with meekness and meekness of wisdom. Now watch this now. James says, he's got wisdom. She's got wisdom because she has righteous works. Now listen, you can't pull off living the Christian life in 2017 if you don't have wisdom. You're going to get trapped. Listen. I don't care how much determination you have. I don't care how much passion you have. You think to be a Christian, you ought to have determination? You think to be a Christian, you ought to have passion? Come on, isn't that true? Do you think to be a Christian that you ought to have faithfulness? Do you think to be a Christian, you ought to have selflessness? Do you think to be a Christian, you ought to have humility? Do you think to be a Christian that you have talents? To be a Christian, you have time. You have, these are all good things that you need to have a Christian. But determination and passion and skill and talent and faithfulness and humility without wisdom, listen to me, it's reckless, because you have all that good stuff, but no wherewithal as to how to use it.
Good, Pastor. Amen.
I've known humble Christians that fail. You know why? Because Satan will take humility that they have, and he'll hit them with something in an area where they weren't wise enough to apply their humility. Amen. So you got to have wisdom. I mean, the meekest man in all of the Bible perhaps was Moses. And he missed the promised land because he lost his temper. So he lacked wisdom when he needed it the most. Ladies and gentlemen, he says there must be some conduct that demonstrates wisdom. That conduct is righteous works, and that conduct is also right ways. In other words, God doesn't just want us to do the right thing, but he wants us to do the right thing the right way. Look at the language in verse number 13. Hey, good conversation. That's the right manner of living in his works. But notice the last part of the verse, with meekness of wisdom. He used meekness earlier when he talked in James chapter 1 to receive the engrafted word with meekness. Meekness has the idea of our attitude. He says it's not just our actions, but it's our attitude. It's not just doing right, but it's doing right with the right attitude. Meekness is power under control. Meekness is gentleness. Meekness is a ready receptiveness to the things of God. Here's what James says. A wise person won't just do the Christian thing, but a wise person will do the Christian thing with a good Christian attitude. I've known some children of God that were spot on their position, but absolutely devilish with their disposition. They spoke the truth, but they didn't speak it in love. They promoted a godly lifestyle to people, but they did it with a spirit of arrogance. Come on. So you're going to go to work tomorrow, and it's God's will that when you go to work, you live differently than the people at your job who are not saved. But he does not want your lifestyle to be different in conduct. Amen. But the wrong way in attitude. So he says, wisdom will be proven in your life, not just by your works, but by your ways. Not just by your actions, but by your attitude. It is still counterproductive as a Christian to do the right thing the wrong way. And one of the things we direct young Christians is, in the area of it, is they grab a hold of information sometimes. And they get spiritual information and scriptural information, and they find out this is what the Bible says, and they run with that new nugget that they found, and they go find everybody that's not doing it, and they land in as brash and as direct and as candid as they possibly can be. And some people who don't live how they live are turned off. Amen. Listen, being a Christian never meant you had to be nasty. Amen. You have to be ugly. I know some preachers who are spot on their position, but they're so unkind. Amen. Listen, we live in a world full of lost people. And by the way, the best thing to keep yourself meek is to remind yourself that you weren't always where you are now. Come on now, somebody help me preach. There was a day when you weren't the person with the right position. You were the person listening to somebody else give you their right position. And if they had been as nasty with you as you are with somebody else, you might be still where you used to be. Amen. There's an eager search. Secondly, we'll close. He lets us see some earthly substance. There is a wisdom that's of the world. Let me say that again. There is a wisdom that's of the world. Now watch it now. It's possible to be lost, unredeemed. Let me see if I can demonstrate it. A lost man can go to work tomorrow with a filthy mouth, but be wise enough not to speak with that filthy mouth in front of a superior who would reprimand him for using it. Now, that's worldly wisdom. That guy doesn't have heavenly wisdom, because heavenly wisdom doesn't say just do right because somebody's watching because you don't want to get in trouble. Somebody help me preach. So it is possible for you to make smart decisions where other people would attribute you as being wise. But the truth of the matter is you got worldly wisdom because you're only acclimating your actions to fit the outward standards around you while never truly being changed from the inside. Somebody help me, from the inside. Listen, most worldly people who've climbed up the ladder of success have mastered worldly wisdom. Some of the most successful people on the job and in the workforce go to work every day and perform at a higher level than some Christians do. But they don't have heavenly wisdom because they go home after they've performed at a high level and they perform at a low moral. Somebody help me preach. James says there's a difference. Don't let the world define what's supposed to come from the word. So just very quickly, what is this earthly substance? First of all, these are indications of this worldly wisdom. A disgruntled spirit. Bitter envying and strife in your hearts. I can be good at what I do and called wise by a worldly standard. But there is not a child of God who is operating in the wisdom that comes from God while simultaneously being bitter. Now that's an indictment perhaps on some of you when it comes to your supposed wisdom. Bitter roots. What are roots? Stuff below the ground. See, roots are what you don't see. That's why Hebrews said, lest any root of bitterness spring up in you. Come on. See, you can be bitter and nobody know it. But you can't be wise and keep that root. Come on. Now you're trying to get wisdom so that you can make good financial decisions so that 10 years from now you can be living and not have any debt. That may be worldly wisdom. Could it be possible that in 10 years from now you have no financial worries, but it is not your financial calamities that will bring you down? It is the root of bitterness that you fail to employ heavenly wisdom to pull up. And although you have no money problems, you got mind problems. You're not awake at night because you worry about your bills. You're awake at night because you got animosity and things you haven't settled with somebody else. You employed worldly wisdom to get your money in the right place, but you didn't employ heavenly wisdom to get your heart in the right place. Preach, Pastor! You can't live off your certifications and your college degrees. That'll get you smart. But none of that will get you smarter than the devil. The only way to beat the cleverness of the devil is with the wisdom of God. A disgruntled spirit involves a bitter root. A disgruntled spirit involves a belligerent reasoning. Envying. Huh? You all did hear me. I said envying and strife. The word envying comes from the word zelos, which is where we get the word jealousy. Huh? Strife is where we get the word factions or cliques. It literally means in the scripture to cut into pieces what God intended to be a whole. Well, I'm a wise person. I got my money in place. I got my career in place. I got my 15-year in place. I got my car inspected. I got my auto pay. I got my loans approved. Hey, that may make you wise in the world. But if every time another Christian gets blessed, you're jealous, you're not wise. But if you got unresolved issues that you've not dealt with, you're not wise. Come on. You say, I'm not jealous. Be careful. You could be jealous. You'd be a choir member jealous of another choir member. Church member jealous of somebody else. I don't like somebody else's attention. I don't like somebody else's blessings. I want my group, my thing, my way. James said, grow up. A bitter root, a belligerent reasoning, a boastful ridiculousness. He said, don't brag about that. Glory not. Amen. I said, glory not. Don't ever take pride in resentment. Matter of fact, you shouldn't be taking pride in anything. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. Amen. Pride will kill wisdom. Moreover, oftentimes before it kills wisdom, it disallows it. God can't give it to me because pride is blocking me from receiving it. Then notice the blind rationalization. Lie not against the truth. Well, that's a statement there. To lie against the truth. Now, lie against the truth simply means I'm so set in my ways. I refuse to accept that which is true because I'm blind to it. So instead of embracing that which is true, I put a lie forward to it. You ever heard of somebody just intentionally trying to argue with something that you know they knew was wrong? That's what worldly wisdom does. It has you blind to the truth. Do you hear me? Blind to the truth. And so you have debates, Brother Ricky, with lost people. And they don't want to hear what you have to say because the wisdom of the world that has qualified them for social success has blinded them to spiritual truth. And they will lie to get ahead, not realizing that lying that gets you ahead in this world gets you farther in God's work. One of the best examples I can think of this is in the book of Samuel. David was king. He became king while Saul, his predecessor, was trying to stop him. Saul tried to kill him. Saul put out a bounty on his head. Twice David had Saul sleep and unaware and could have killed him, but he said, I will not touch God's anointed. Now watch what happened in the book of 2 Samuel. The Bible tells us that an Amalekite servant came to David saying, I killed Saul. Now why did he do that? Because he figured by telling David he killed Saul that David will reward him. The problem with that statement is that the biblical account of Saul's death tells us that Saul was wounded in the war, begged for his armor bearer to put the sword on him because he was in so much pain. The armor bearer refused to do it, and consequently, Saul committed suicide. Somebody called me this week and said, who killed Saul? I said, Saul killed himself. Yeah, but the man said he killed Saul. The man was lying. The man was lying, saying something that he didn't do and trying to get reward from a king that he thought would reward him because he had killed the king's enemy. And by lying to say something he didn't do, he lost his own life. Be careful when you lie about something you did to get over. Sometimes the lie that you told is what will take you under. That's where... Listen, some of the most successful people in the world I know are some of the most morally corrupt you'll ever meet. They have climbed the social ladder by cheating and hurting people. And they have believed, convinced themselves, that as long as you get away with it and end up further down the line, it's okay. Not knowing that that which is causing them to ascend in a worldly ladder is causing them to descend in a spiritual ladder. Listen to me, Christian. You'll never, ever, ever go right telling a lie. Lying to your boss saying you did good when you didn't. Lying to your parents saying you did right when you didn't. Lying to church members, saying you do something when you don't. That's worldly wisdom. A disgruntled spirit. It comes from a devilish source. We'll close here. It descendeth not from above, but earthly, sensual, and devilish. Take these notes down and we'll go home. Devilish source. Worldly wisdom comes from secular philosophy. Does it not blow your mind that some of the most brilliant minds in our world today teach that we came from a process of evolution? Come on. I mean, there are brilliant people in this world who can, listen, who think smarter in their sleep than we do when we're awake. Just come on, let's be honest. We've been around some of them. And yet, you teach them simple biblical truths that your children can learn in children's church at 4 and 5 years old, and they stagger at the validity of spiritual truth. Come on now. Because they're drowning in secular philosophy that teaches humanism. Believe in yourself. That's what the world says. Believe in yourself. Listen to me. That worldly philosophy will wreck people's lives. Secular philosophy. And then sensual passions. The wisdom of the world is sensual. Did you hear that? That has the idea it's rooted in the pleasures and desires of secularism. Watch it. Sensual is not a companion of spiritual. You better be careful. See, the world wants you to be skilled. God wants you to be spiritual. Amen. See, you can turn the TV on and watch singers sing, okay? And they've been to all kinds of classes. They've learned how to work the mic, and they've learned how to move the head, and they, you get a duet together, and their notes are right in sync, and their choreography fits with their lyrics. Huh? But when you watch them sing, they look like two people that are in love in an inappropriate way. Listen, the way they use their skill doesn't give you any air of holiness. Amen. There's a reason why we have standards for our choir members and some kind of level of faithfulness and demonstration. Because we know you can be a good singer, but the wisdom of the world may qualify you as being very skilled, but with your skill will come a level of sensuality. Watch this now. That's offensive to the Spirit of God. We don't want you to get up here singing and looking at each other and looking like you're singing. You're not singing a love song to your partner in the song. You're singing a love song to your Savior. And listen to me. The Bible even uses a different word for love towards God that he does between husbands and wives. And the burning that you have for your spouse in a very romantic, loving way should not mirror the agape, total commitment love that you have to God. God does not want to be your lover and your BFF and your bun. God is your heavenly Father. He is holy. And when you talk with him and when you walk and you get up on this platform, we're not interested in you showing us what kind of love life you and Jesus have. There ought to be a respect and a reverence and a fear and a spirituality that is demonstrated from the inside out, and all the voice lessons and vocalists forums will not replace heavenly wisdom. And if you don't have it, you'll give yourself away. You'll be the best singer in the house. But we put a child up here, sing Jesus Loves Me, and the Spirit of God will move with more liberty during that child singing than your polished rendition of a song where you could sing circles around him. Because the Spirit of God needs a wise vessel through which to work. And James says, that's why you better not go to the world's manufacturers to get wisdom, because their counterfeit substance doesn't look, sound, or even seem like the real stuff that comes from above. Our Father, help us. It's so easy to pursue worldly wisdom. But I pray, God, that we won't pursue it in place of heavenly wisdom. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? You read the Bible and it's like God, you really do know what you're talking about. God's not looking for Christians to be good at this thing. He's looking for Christians to be dead through whom he can live. Next week, with the help of God, we're looking at heavenly wisdom. And it's so different. You can be smart and not be spiritual, but you can't be spiritual and not be wise. God help us, God help us, God help us, God help us. God, when I leave this building today, help me not just to have righteous works, but help me to have right ways. Help me not just to have righteous actions, but a right attitude. Show me your ways. Help my life to bless your name, to give you honor and give. Help worship to be spiritual, not sensual. Show me your way so I can walk with you. I can't figure this thing out unless you help me. And if we're not careful, we'll be so busy trying to dot the I's and cross the T's spiritually that we'll forget there's just some things about the Christian life where God's mind has to be our mind. Wise God, give us more of you. Help us have less of us. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.